French presidential candidate Marine Le Pen standing aside, temporarily at least, as the leader of the National Front, saying during a television interview, the president is the president of all French people and needs to unite them. The move appears to be a mere formality, changing nothing in her campaign platform.
The world's leading drug companies may have found their next target, a disease that's on track to become the leading cause of liver transplants by 2020. As of today, as many as 15 million Americans are suffering from the condition clinically known as non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, or NASH, and there are no approved treatments for it. Investors are buying shares in little-known drug companies working on NASH treatments, who may quickly become takeover targets.
Economic inequality, climate change, to issues related to violence. All those problems are serious, they're daunting, but they're not insoluble. What is preventing us from tackling them and making more progress really has to do with our politics and our civic life. It has to do with the fact that because of things like political gerrymandering, our parties have moved further and further apart, and it's harder and harder to find common ground.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday. It's April 25th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. Lots to cover this morning, including a number of big earnings coming out today. McDonald's, Caterpillar, all reporting your earnings today. We'll have more, hopefully, on that before the end of the program today. Orion Samuelson is back with us. He'll have the latest on commodities a little bit later in the show. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. World stocks hit record highs this morning with investors' relief at that victory in France by Emmanuel Macron and his ongoing campaign toward the runoff with Le Pen in the French presidential election. It was a good day for stocks yesterday across the board generally. We saw a very strong morning yesterday, especially in France. Safe haven assets like gold and the Japanese yen retreated today, as opinion polls suggested Macron would easily beat Marine Le Pen in that May 7th runoff. Shares in Asia are higher today. On the board this morning, it looks like most of the indices are a percent or more higher, especially the Nikkei, up almost a little bit more than a percent this morning. And in Hong Kong, the same story this morning, up almost a percent and a half. In Europe this morning, most of the indices are higher, with the DAX a little bit lower this morning. The CAC is higher, and so is the FTSE this morning. Here in this country, we're looking for a positive open when Wall Street opens for business later this morning. Dow futures up 45 right now. S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little bit higher as well. Crude oil at $49.35 a barrel as we head into trading this morning. The dollar gained against the yen and fell against the euro. A couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. President Trump says he plans to impose a 20% tariff on Canadian soft lumber. That's retroactive 90 days. The Commerce Secretary informed Canada of that plan yesterday. Also, the U.S. Senate voted on Monday, 87-11, to approve the nomination of Sonny Perdue, the former Georgia governor, as the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. Both Illinois senators, Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth, approved the nomination, supported the nomination, and it comes really 100 days into the president's term. It is long overdue. Lots of people happy to see, finally, an agriculture secretary sitting in that office today, Sonny Perdue. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. First off, this morning with the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, who's with us this morning. President Richard Giebert is with us this morning. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Morning, Steve. Very well, thank you.
Glad to have you on. Let's talk about Sonny Perdue for a moment. I know the Illinois Farm Bureau is probably happy to see somebody in that office.
Absolutely. With everything that's on the hearts and minds of farmers today, what's going on in Washington, D.C., we're glad we have Sonny Perdue as Secretary of Agriculture and hopefully speak on our behalf about trade, immigration, and, you know, some of the other hot-button issues in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you mentioned a few of them there. How important is it to have an agriculture guy in the ear of the president?
It's vitally important. You know, when they're talking about when they walked away from TPP, talking about renegotiating NAFTA and these other bilateral and having other bilateral trade agreements with these other countries. Conversations are going on with China and Japan, and particularly what's in the news today with Canada, with the dairy and with the milk issues. It's very important for agriculture to have an advocate in place visiting with the president and his leadership team in Washington, D.C., speaking on behalf of farmers and telling them what we really need and how important it really is.
Richard, how concerned are farmers that we're heading for a trade war with some of our best trading partners? Canada is one of them that we really don't need to be picking a fight with, right? And Mexico, too, is a big trading partner. How concerned are farmers?
Very concerned, Steve. You know, it's important that we keep these markets open, particularly at these farm economy that we have today and the low commodity prices. You know, and I've said for years, we need four things that are really important to farmers to get another nickel and dime for a bushel of corn, soybeans, or wheat, or a pound of pork or beef or chicken. We need exports, we need trade agreements, we need livestock here in the state of Illinois. It's vitally important as we move ahead and try to keep our farms viable for our families and future generations.
Richard, hang on with us. We're on with President Richard Giebert of the Illinois Farm Bureau. We're going to talk a little bit about prices coming up. Also, it's planting season. We'll get into some of that.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, strong earnings reports spurred investors' interest and left the markets higher on Monday. The Dow closed up 216 points at 20,763. The S&P 500 was 25 points ahead. The NASDAQ composite rose 73. The Trump administration wants to slap a 20% tariff on imports of Canadian softwood lumber. The U.S. currently imports more than $5 billion worth of lumber from north of the border, but domestic producers say Canada's fees for logging on its land amount to an unfair subsidy. Sears is trying to get its house in order and has named a new chief financial officer. The retailer hopes to save over $1 billion this year by cutting some senior management positions and closing 92 pharmacies and Kmart stores. And Spirit Airlines has become the latest carrier to cut passenger service to Cuba. Spirit will begin thinning out its Fort Lauderdale to Havana flight schedule in the coming weeks and then end service completely on May 31st. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 521. We're on this morning with the Illinois Farm Bureau President, Richard Giebert. Richard, I see tractors out in fields. Planting season is underway. How's it going so far?
Well, in southern Illinois, it's going pretty good. Last week, we had a pretty good week, first part, and the last part of the weekend, we got a little bit of rain. It's dried out. We're back in the field yesterday, finishing up planting corn and starting to plant soybeans. And it's been a busy time of the year, but a fun time.
Yeah. So as the season gets underway, what are the biggest concerns of farmers in the state?
Well, as we talked a few minutes earlier about trade and the challenges, conversations with Canada and Mexico, our two best trading partners. You know, the president of China was in Washington or in Florida a couple of weeks ago. That's what's pretty important to us and how trade is and the economy is going to be, farm economy, going down the road as we're putting a crop in the ground. What kind of prices are we going to see this fall for the corn, soybeans, and our beef and pork?
Yeah, I saw a figure yesterday. The corn prices especially are worrisome, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I mean, we had a really good crop last year. We got a surplus of corn on hand. You talk about the trade agreements in Mexico with Mexico and Canada and China. Mexico is looking at getting their corn from Argentina. When it really makes a lot of sense to come here to the United States and get it here, our neighbors to the south.
Richard, this might be a surprise to the people who aren't familiar with the farm life, but and correct me if I'm wrong, but being a farmer is the most dangerous job in America, isn't it?
Right next to coal mining and steel workers, yes.
Yeah, why is that, and how is it being made safer?
Well, we've got cabs on our tractors. We're using a lot of technology now. We have just been more careful as over the years. Machinery, anytime you're around machinery, It's always been dangerous, and you need to be aware of what's going on around you when you operate those types of pieces of equipment. And for the most part, we've had safety programs. Number of 4-H groups and FFA groups have machinery awareness and farm safety days, particularly during Farm Week or National Ag Day and Ag Week.
And this goes, too, for non-farmers alike. What would you like people who are driving around your fields this spring and summer, what should they take away from seeing tractors and farm equipment?
Well, just be cautious. They move a lot slower than cars and trucks, and it's unfortunate when there is an accident, but be cautious and of what's going on around you and give them the right-of-way. The equipment's big, and just be cautious and careful because no one wants to be hurt in an accident.
Seeing reports from other states, Richard, especially California and some of the other big ag states, too, that they're having a hard time already finding workers because of immigration policies. How big of an issue is this for the farm economy?
It's very important for especially growers or livestock people, whether you're a dairyman or a pork producer, to have labor to either harvest or plant the crops or tend the livestock around the farm. And nothing's more disappointing as you go through all the trouble and, I guess, blood, sweat, and tears, you might say, to put a crop out, and then you can't get the labor necessary to harvest it and get it to the marketplace.
Is this something that you hope Sonny Perdue hopes has the ear of the president on in terms of trying to get, and even Congress, to finally get some sort of immigration policy down that is going to benefit our economy?
Absolutely, and, you know, to get a good visa program, H-2A program put in place that we can get workers on the farm that are skilled and able to do what we need to be done to put crops or produce in the marketplace. And I believe Sonny Perdue can do that and will do that as we move along. You know, immigration reform, H-2A guest worker programs have always been a real challenge for the last number of years, and hopefully we can find some common ground to get those issues resolved for the American farmer.
Well, Richard, I hope you have a good growing season. It's good of you to be on with us today, and have a safe growing season this year.
Well, thank you very much, Steve, to you and your listeners in Chicagoland. We will do our best to put produce in the marketplace. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Richard Giebert is the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau with us today. You can follow the Illinois Farm Bureau, by the way, on Twitter at Ill Farm Bureau, at Ill Farm Bureau. And there is lots of information there about farming and farming issues.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:37. A shareholder vote scheduled for today could throw Wells Fargo leadership into question. If many directors criticized for their slow response to the bank's phony account scandal fail to win solid majority. A dozen of the 15 directors on the ballot face negative recommendations from influential proxy advisor Institutional Shareholder Services, ISS, which argue the group, including Chairman Steven Sanger, failed in their oversight duties. This all comes at a time when Wells Fargo is trying to dig itself out of the hole and make things better. Dale Buss is a contributor to Brand Channel. He's with us this morning. He's written about this. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Steve.
So let's talk about what, first, if you want to talk a little bit about this leadership vote today, could the board of directors look a little different at the end of the day, do you think?
Well, that is an entirely possible prospect. As this vote has neared, the board and CEO Tim Sloan have been telling the world, you know, we think we've done enough to deal with this scandal, and, you know, this is a situation where Wells Fargo had a culture of deception, where over a 5-year period, that thousands of branch level employees of this bank opened as many as 2.1 million fictitious accounts using unauthorized customer information. It was all to meet sales goals that were unrealistic. I mean, there's one branch manager had a teenage daughter with 24 accounts, an adult daughter with 18, a husband with 21, a brother with 14, and a father with 4. So the company thinks they've dealt with all of this by dumping the previous CEO, John Stumpf. They paid this $185 million settlement with regulators. They feel like they've installed new ethics protections and a whole bunch of stuff. And they've even, which led to a story I did for Brand Channel, even launched a new advertising campaign telling the world that they're back in a way. But it seems like a lot of people, including ISS, as you mentioned, feel that they just haven't quite dealt. They haven't gotten to the rot at the bottom of all this. And so these directors are definitely endangered.
Well, you mentioned some of the things that they have done already. It's really one of those riches to rags sort of story. It was America's biggest bank, lost its Better Business Bureau accreditation. What have they done specifically to try to turn things around, and is it making any headway with consumers?
Well, over the last 7 months, this is what Jamie Moldavsky, the chief marketing officer, was telling me for Brand Channel. They've really been all about trying to make sure they're getting it right, is the way she put it. They've done remediation and refunds to customers. They've changed their processes internally. They've changed compensation structures at the community bank level so that these branch managers and employees don't have the financial incentive to make up accounts that they didn't really open. Her assertion is that they've done a lot of stuff to fix the basis so that people can trust Wells Fargo. And now they think customers are ready to hear and really want to hear what Wells Fargo is doing for their customers.
You know, some of that includes card-free ATM access. Some of the commercials, I know we're going to link to your story from Brand Channel. You've posted a couple of the examples here. One of them, too, is better security. These seem like ads that show, hey, we've got a lobby and we've got people helping you, and it's sort of all about you sort of centric ads, right?
Yeah, and my point in talking with her and writing for Brand Channel is I just wonder if it's enough. I mean, these ads struck me as very sort of typical bank ads. A guy is shown, he wants to go into the lobby to get cash, but he doesn't have his ATM card. I think he wants to contribute to, buy some Girl Scout cookies or something. And he's in kind of a panic. And the Wells Fargo employee says, oh, just use your smartphone. Well, that's great. And Jamie Moldavsky, the CMO, told me, we want people were telling us that they really want this kind of technology. We want to be there for them. We want to be leaders in this. But it seems to me as if what they really need to do is fall on their sword. They need a bigger mea culpa. They need a trust message because the Wells Fargo brand is trash right now. I mean, if people are looking for a bank, if they're making an association between any brand in their mind, Wells Fargo is not going to come up well. And I just don't know if smartphone ATM usage is what the message the customers really need to hear about this company and this brand, that they've gotten to the bottom of things.
Yeah, I don't remember actually seeing it. Maybe I saw maybe one, and I know that there was a radio ad running. I think it ran here on WGN where they apologized, where they came right out and said, hey, we made a mistake, we're trying to do better. But I don't remember a big campaign of them doing that.
No, they have not had a campaign. That's the whole point. They really haven't broadly communicated that message. I mean, just go back to Oscar Munoz and United Airlines. Not a great example necessarily, but when he changed his mind about the incident a couple of weeks ago after pulling the passenger off the plane, I mean, you knew it. They were all over the place apologizing, making it clear that people realize United figured it had made a mistake and, it's going to be a new era, blah, blah, blah. You just haven't heard that about Wells Fargo. That message has not gotten through to consumers, and it seemed to me that they're kind of just skipping over that part and saying, okay, let's go right back to the classic marketing messages about products and features, and that's going to be well enough. So, and I don't know how much of that is reflected in the pressure on directors at this annual meeting in Florida today. I think there's some of that. I think the whole concern of ISS and other shareholders is, do they really think they've gotten to the bottom of this? Have they really? Are they still deluding themselves at the very top of the company about having burrowed to the bottom of this? And it's not going to go away. I mean, Elizabeth Warren, you know, with her message, for example, is out there saying we need to take a closer look at regulating banks even more strongly. So while you've got President Trump on one hand saying we need to loosen up on banks a little bit and roll back some of the Dodd-Frank regulations, you still got a strong political contingent saying no. I mean, Wells Fargo is a great example of why we cannot let up on banks.
Yeah. The other part of this, I guess it all, too, goes back to money, Dale. The earnings report they released earlier in the month said that the costs for this are likely going to be higher than what we've seen so far. Do you think that'll probably be the deciding factor for some of these leaders there is how much this is going to cost?
Well, sure. Obviously, shareholders, the bottom line is their pocketbook, and not surprisingly. Yeah, John, the CFO, said that this is going to cost us $50 to $60 million more. Well, actually, it looks like it might be $70 to $80 million to deal with it beyond what they had initially projected, and that definitely is a factor. It's an indication, again, that maybe they just haven't still gotten to the bottom of this, and if shareholders believe that the only way to get to the bottom of this is to completely change folks at the top, then that's what they're going to do today. At least, you know, at least lodge a protest vote. There are no directors running opposed by anyone. So if they get huge protest votes or even a vote to be kicked off the board, that's a pretty strong signal that the investment community doesn't think they've done enough.
In your experience in writing about brands over the years, do you think this is something that Wells Fargo can fully recover from, or do you think it's damaged beyond repair?
I really think to a great extent it's damaged beyond repair because there is plenty of competition among banks. I mean, Wells Fargo is this venerable, proud brand name, but there's other venerable, proud brand names that consumers know and don't feel like they have to deal with this cloud. And I don't know. I think it's gonna cause incredible long-term damage, and I just don't think they've tried to get to the bottom of it. I think that's the biggest problem. They have not said, trust us, here's why you should trust us. They've kind of skipped right over that, and I think that's going to be a problem for the brand.
Dale Buss is a writer for Brand Channel on this story, Forbes, others as well. It's always good chatting with you, Dale. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
You can follow Dale on Twitter at Dale D. Buss. We're going to link out his story on Brand Channel about this situation at Wells Fargo as well, so you can get some more background and see some of those commercials as well.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Dow futures pointing higher this morning on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, up 57 points. NASDAQ futures up 10. S&P futures up about 4. Silver and gold are trading lower this morning. Crude oil is trading a little bit higher, up about a quarter at 49.37. Let's get to the latest now on agriculture and commodity. We're so happy to have Orion Samuelson back with us. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back with you here on The Opening Bell on WGN Radio, taking a look at the weekly crop progress report issued yesterday by the Department of Agriculture. And it shows once again something that we've seen for decades, that when you get to the Mississippi River, the weather is much different on both sides of the river. For example, Iowa has planted just 8% of the corn acres, while Illinois has planted 34%. And nationwide, 17% of the corn acres planted. That's about on line with the five-year average. Soybean planting, well, only 6% of the nation's soybeans have been planted as of yesterday. That's a little bit more than a year ago. And the winter wheat crop down in good to excellent category, about 4%. Now, the market yesterday saw soybeans rising on dollar weakness and also short covering. Second session in a row now that we have seen a high in soybeans. It's a three-week high. And a weaker U.S. dollar raised hopes for fresh export sales. Corn futures higher on support from fund short covering and worries over a slow start to spring planting. And then finally, in the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, a mixed market. The May lean hog contract up $1.25 a hundredweight, closing at 64.40. But the April live cattle contract ended the day at $129 a hundredweight, down 70, and the April feeder cattle contract down 12 cents. That's your money on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Orion. 554 now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. The Commerce Department reports on sales of new homes in March, among a host of economic indicators due out later today. The Conference Board is set to issue the Consumer Confidence Index for April as well today. We'll see the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index. And again, in addition to those new residential sales, see some data on home sales and consumer confidence. This is the day that the UN Security Council will meet on a number of issues, including the mission in South Sudan, likely also to take up the issue of the situation in Syria and North Korea. Ivanka Trump, the first daughter and assistant to the president, will visit Berlin to participate in the W20 summit. She'll join a panel conversation with other women leaders regarding women's economic empowerment and entrepreneurship. Also today, the Democratic National Committee has a meeting. It's called Come Together and Fight Back. They're launching a tour featuring the new DNC chair, Tom Perez, and Senator Bernie Sanders. They'll be on the road. It is a big day for earnings. Coca-Cola reports financial results this morning. Caterpillar and McDonald's from Illinois are out there. Chipotle Mexican Grill also has its quarterly financial results due out today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, April 25th, 2017.